From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with the managing director of the CME Group in Chicago about volatility, and we'll hear from the president at the University of Illinois System about how the leadership team of the campuses across the state are working diligently to plug themselves more deeply into the economic fabric of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
No update of the commodity markets for the afternoon as I'm out of the office for the day. However, we do have a really good interview with Tim Andreessen. He's the Managing Director of Agricultural Products for the CME Group in Chicago. I asked him to explain volatility to begin with, and then we explored several other topics.
Well, you know, if you want to look at the broadest scope, we have some of the craziest geopolitical drivers we have seen in years. In grains, for example, we have super tight balance sheets. In a lot of the energy markets, we've seen some of the highest prices we've seen in, like for diesel, products like that. And I don't think anybody really anticipated a lot of the fundamentals that are going on. I don't think anybody really anticipated all of the problems that have come out of the Ukraine Russia situation, and then stack on top of that inflation. And, we have some of the highest inflation we've had. So we just have markets across the board that are driving volatility.
Some will look at the marketplace and say the volatility is so large that I can't play. I can't use the CME Group. I don't really understand options. There's too much outside money and influence. It pushes things around when I'm in. However, you mentioned the fundamentals, and it really is based somewhere down the line on a cash trade eventually. Can you tell me about the connection between those two and how the CME Group watches them?
Well, one of the things that people do is they say, look at all the volatility in the futures markets. Look at all the volatility in the non-futures markets. If you want to look at commodities, and you look at volatility, you're seeing volatility in products that have nothing to do with the futures market. We just simply live in a very volatile world. Now, we do have a wide range of people in the market ecosystem, all with different approaches. Some are hedgers, some are investors. And we think that's important because that provides liquidity. When you're a hedger, you want to be able to execute your hedge. And if you have a little bit more quantity, you don't want the market to have to move to get you to execute your hedge. So we think it's important to have that ecosystem that is there to provide that liquidity for you to execute. We watch the market very closely. We don't see, people misbehaving in the marketplace. If they do, we have a market reg function. We call them out, and in some cases we'll fine them or, there will be consequences.
How's liquidity in the overnight trade? Is it much lighter? Does it create any problems as opposed to the day trade for commodities?
Well, the overnight markets have never been as liquid as the day markets. It is actually one of the things we've focused on in terms of trying to build that liquidity because we have a strong customer base in APAC as well as in EMEA. So, those customers are, hedgers, commercial traders. They want liquidity to be able to execute things and they don't want to have to wait till the middle of their night to execute. So, the liquidity has been growing. It's been getting stronger, but it's not the same as it is during the middle of the day.
Is it just a thing, something about the clock? Is that really the issue?
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you look at where our core customers are, it's still North American-centric. We have a growing global business. And, pretty much anywhere you go in the world, if somebody wants to know what the price of corn is, it's going to be referenced through our corn futures. But yet, the market here in the United States is very, very mature in how they, trade basis and how they use our products. And there's a lot of the rest of the world that just isn't as active a hedger or a basis trader as they are in the U.S.
What things have you looked at for the future? Just spitballing what might change, delivery points or cash settlements or other things that could improve the process?
Well, one of the things that we've seen and that we've been doing, and I think if you kind of look at the history of what's been going on is, and this is reflective of the broader agricultural world, You know, I can remember when I first started in this business, there was literally no soybean production in South America. Now it's huge. If we look at the global wheat market, up until recently, you know, the Black Sea was a primary source of exports, and it was a significant source of corn exports as well. So one of the things we've done is, while we continue to have the global benchmark products, is we've started to launch regional products as well. We have a Black Sea wheat contract that has, up until recently, done very well, a Black Sea corn contract. We recently launched a South American soybean contract that reflects prices in that marketplace. We just launched a Canadian wheat product. So our goal is that wherever you are in the world, we have a product that allows you to discover price and manage risk on our exchange.
One of the things that producers can use to eliminate some of the volatility is options. However, they've been around for a long time. Producers still don't always understand them unless they have a broker who's really used to using them. How do they educate themselves on how to use an option to protect risk?
Well, you almost answered your own question there. There's plenty of educational content out there. You can go to futuresfundamental.org. You can go to our website, cmegroup.com, and find educational information. But, you know, for somebody who really has said, I'm going to add options to, you know, to my marketing plan, I really do think what you want to find is, you want to find a really solid broker or marketing advisor, because they can walk you through, okay, if I buy this option, you know, what protection do I have? You know, what am I spending? Is, you know, what strike price should I buy if I want more or less protection? What's the trade-off between, you know, if it's a call, a lower strike price and a higher premium? It's really important to have somebody, until you get pretty comfortable with them, to work with, to work you through those sort of things.
How's the volume in options by comparison to the futures contracts and that overlay them?
From a increase in usage, options have blown up in the last 2 years. They have absolutely gone up significantly in terms of usage. We've been setting records for options usage. And what a lot of that is it's people looking at the current environment where there is a reasonable level of uncertainty, saying, you know, maybe in the past I just hedge, but I really want to participate if prices go higher. So instead of just selling futures or even just selling to the local elevator, what I want to do is either buy a put or sell futures and buy a call, or sell forward to the local elevator and buy a call against that so that I can participate as the prices go up. So we've seen a very big uptake in options. We've seen a very big uptake in short-dated new crop options. Having said that, there's still, to your point, a lot of people out there that don't understand the product yet. And there's probably no better time than right now to understand it, because if you look at current prices and some of the prices we've, you know, seen in the last couple months, we're talking about record prices. These are things that you want to lock in when you have that opportunity. But at the same time, with the uncertainty we have, you know, you want to be able to participate if prices go higher.
That was Tim Andreessen. He's the managing director of the CME Group's agricultural products. I spoke with him during the Illinois State Fair on Ag Day. It was the day that the president of the University of Illinois and the senior leadership kicked off a tour of the state, hoping to connect themselves and the university more deeply into the communities across rural and urban Illinois. They started, frankly, with the Ag Breakfast at the Illinois State Fair, and that's where I caught up with the president of the University of Illinois, Tim Killeen, to talk about this tour.
So this is our second of what is going to be an annual tour that the senior leadership of the University of Illinois system does. Last year we did it for the first time. We did 2,000 miles. We went up and down the state, deep south, collar communities in Chicago, Peoria, Rockford, you know, Decatur. So we're repeating. It was very successful last year, and the theme was listening. It was like a listening. We want to hear what these local regional communities think about the University of Illinois system, what they imagine we could do, maybe need some envelope. And we learned a lot. And so we're repeating it. We're going to do it annually. This is year two. And I think the theme is going to be partnerships, but partnering with purpose. So we're going to go and visit community settings that in Illinois with our senior leadership team. We're going to be listening still, but we're going to see, well, okay, how's it working? this partnership, this long-lived partnership, is it optimal? Are there things we can do? Are there other interfaces that can be built up, public-private connections that we know about that could be improved? And so we're going to do that again in the whole state. Obviously, we're an educational institution, so you want to talk about what we do to make sure that people appreciate that this is 95,000 students strong. Every year we graduate, like a little town comes off our product line, 24,000 students. Most of them stay and work in Illinois, so they're contributing to the tax base, and they've got all kinds of expertise. We're recruiting faculty, providing affordable access to world-class education, which is critically important because we don't want it to be out of the reach of families in Illinois, rural families in particular, but as well as urban families. So we want to describe what we're doing and why we're doing it, but mostly from the perspective of partnering more deeply across the state. You know, as I like to say, Illinois is in our name. We're not going anywhere, but we are the size of a Fortune 500. I mean, we're $19 billion annual economic impact, one in every 46 jobs in the state derived from U of I system. More than 2% of the GDP of the state is derived from the university. So how do we take that asset, its expertise, the multidisciplinary nature of it, and our public service mission to lift society writ large and not leave communities behind or out, but to take, a view as we look into the future, particularly post-pandemic. You know, we learned a lot in the pandemic. We learned a lot about digital means of communication, digital means of education. How is that playing out in these partnering communities? And so we're coming at this without the prescription that we want to tell people, this is what you should do, right? We're way too humble for that. And we need to know what they think about what the communities across Illinois think and feel and aspire to in terms of next steps to lift society up. We still have problems in the state. We have, we have nutritional gaps. We have healthcare gaps. We have, maybe more to do on job creation, building out good jobs. We need to take advantage of our assets and our institutional collaborative assets. So we feel like a responsibility for all of that. And of course, there's a digital revolution underpinning all of this. Computational simulation, big data, advanced computing, artificial intelligence. Those things are kind of new tool set on the table that we can help apply to some of these issues as well.
Again, you're listening to a conversation I had with the president of the University of Illinois, Tim Colleen, during the Ag Breakfast on the 16th day of August at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. He was discussing a tour that he and the senior leadership of the University of Illinois system were taking and are still taking across the state to explore how the connections between the university, rural and urban life are being made and what can be updated.
You know, it's going to be very interesting, I'm sure. We're welcomed everywhere we go. People like the U of I showing up, and so if it's anything like last year, it's going to be eye-opening and in some instances jaw-dropping too, as you see what's really playing out in local communities. And right now, the agriculture community, I think, is really particularly significant for us. We've got extension, obviously. We've got Prairie Research Institute with its long-term surveys. We've got an innovation network that's coming of age now. Every public university is involved in it. So and we're coming out of a pandemic. I think we showed our mettle in the pandemic. U of I did a great job. I say it myself, but it did. I get often asked, well, why didn't other universities able to accomplish what you did? And I don't know the answer to that, but there was a lot of generous collaboration. So what can we now do with the same kind of style and energy commitment?
You're kicking off a tour of the state. You'll be in the southern part of the state on the first leg of this tour, deep southern Illinois at Dixon Springs, within a few tens of miles of the farthest south point of the state of Illinois, at the research facility that belongs to University of Illinois Extension. What do you hope to find there? What questions do you have?
Yeah, well, the Dixon Springs is a major research node for us. And I've been close, but I've never actually been there. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, because of the pandemic and everything else. It's a vibrant community, a research community. It's weathered some challenges, and we're ready for the next step. That whole region, though, is really well positioned for a better future. It's got beauty, Shawnee forests, etc. It's got all kinds of agriculture, wineries, and fruit. It's got access to the rivers, the confluence there, which is, to my understanding, the northernmost extension of containers that can come on. We have a lot of supply chain issues in society right now. Dixon Springs can be a component of the answer to that for the Midwest writ large. We want to sort of see if we can partner deeply with state legislators who've shown a lot of leadership in this, and also locally, to see what can be done there to create a supply chain node that makes sense for the state and lift that whole region of the state. But last year, I saw firsthand that, there weren't enough groceries in some places. It's not enough doctor's offices. So it's part of our responsibility, too, to build out the infrastructure. We've got a huge medical school. We're training physicians. We've got a center, National Center for Rural Health. We're now doing rural dentistry, rural pharmacy, rural nursing. So how do you take our contributions in that part of our state that's got all of these assets up a notch, up multiple notches? And how do we do that in a way that is appropriate for the communities that are there now? Not to implant something alien, but to take it and lift it up. So, but I'm very excited to go to Dixon, our own facility in Dixon Springs. I visited many of the extension centers last year, and this one, and I think there was a canceled trip at one point, maybe it was weather or something. So I'm jazzed about that one, yeah.
Dixon Springs, of course, clearly owned, operated by the University of Illinois system, going to Metro East St. Louis. Yeah. You'll look at a private-public partnership. Tell me about that.
So, we're also very interested in partnering with other agencies that are public service-related, like NGOs, as well as the commercial entities like big companies, et cetera. So we're going to meet with the Jackie Joyner-Kersee group, and she's coming herself, so I'm looking forward to that. And we'll see if there are interfaces there that can be improved upon and built upon. So we'll have an open table discussion. This is what we're doing here. This is what we care about. This is the expertise we have. And we'll hear from herself and her NGO. And I hope out of that will come some follow-on activities up to and including a new formal partnership.
You'll also be stopping in Mount Vernon, I think, maybe at SIU, certainly at Eastern.
Yeah, we are. University of Illinois system's big. It's about half of the public area, but there are other schools. So we're working intensively with the other public schools, all of them. And we've initiated something called the Illinois Innovation Network that has been generously funded by Governor Pritzker and the administration and appropriation to build out economic innovative hubs in all of the public schools in the state of Illinois. So there are these, we call them IIN hubs. IIN stands for Illinois Innovation Network. There's one at Governor State. There's one at SIU, both SIUs. There's one at, EIU. And so we visit regularly. We are convening sessions. So that all of these hubs are playing well together. Again, with digital connectivity, obviously. But each hub is distinctive and unique. And it's appropriate for the region. So they're not competing with one another. They're trying to build out the innovative capacity at Charleston, at Peoria, at Rockford, and then work across, geographic boundaries to see how all of that can work together. It's connected to our own campuses, obviously, but also in Chicago with the new Discovery Partners Institute. So we'll be visiting EIU, we'll be visiting SIU, and talking to long-term colleagues there about how it's going. I'm going to get a tour of the innovation hubs there, which is very exciting to me because they're moving quickly. They're coming of age very rapidly. So the whole state has this innovation network now that we've kind of put in place, created in the last few years. It's funded, so activities are taking place. Other states are looking to us and saying, how do you get that to happen? Can we have one of those too? So we're looking at, you know, there's a little competitive juice flowing here too as well. We want to make Illinois a center of gravity for innovative capacity, taking advantage of the fresh water, the arable soil, the great institutions, the hardworking workforce, public private partnerships, NGOs that are present, and do it in a strategic way. So it's not like checking zillions of boxes, but we want to focus on what can be done next. And so we're going to take back a lot of actions, I imagine. We're taking copious notes, we'll be taking back, and then we'll discuss, and we'll probably be making some formal partnership agreements as we move forward. You know, so it's governmental, public, private, NGO. Those are the assets in a state of Illinois with a lot of geographic diversity, specificity and uniqueness, characters, urban, rural, and because we're as big as we are, you know, we have 94,000 students, and as we speak, we have this big impact on the state's economy, over $19 billion. We want to act like we're in the heavyweight class and be a convener, but a generous collaborator, not a, like, do it our way or we won't. You know, we want to be generous about it, which means a lot of listening. It means a lot of understanding, depth of understanding of what the issues are and what the appropriate mutual interests and how they align.
One last thing as we wrap up here at the Ag Breakfast at the Illinois State Fair, tying in the Dixon Springs facility, the agricultural production with the beef cattle that are in research there, along with the new feed mill that is on campus at the University of Illinois. I've made note as I entered that you were talking with the folks from Archer Daniels Midland, ADM, and that is a private partnership that the university has that helped to build the feed mill on campus.
Connections to the agricultural corporate sector are very important. I've included the manufacturing sector in that too. So all of that is relevant to what we're trying to build out here. And we've got to make sure that we've got the talent, the diverse tech-enabled human capital to feed into this innovation network.
I spoke with University of Illinois President Tim Colleen during the Ag Day Breakfast on the Illinois State Fairgrounds the 16th day of August. If you'd like to learn more about the Illinois Innovation Network, you can find out more about these hubs at the IIN or Illinois Innovation Network online at iin.uillinois.edu. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.